This podcast is brought to you by SMC. MoneyWise, be wise.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to that podcast on Money Control, which is your appointment with all things news, not just from Dalal Street, but pretty much every piece of news that you absolutely must know. My name is Rakesh Sharma. You're listening to Stories of the Day.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
We spoke about this yesterday, that Invesco was getting 11% from Zee Entertainment. Now, after selling that 11%, Subhash Chandra's SL Group may well offload some more stake in the media company. Utkarsh Sinha, Managing Director of Bexley Advisors, which is a boutique early-stage investment bank, feels that it is highly likely an additional 9% stake in Zee will come up for sale. He said to Money Control, and I quote, "The initial goal was to sell a 20% stake in Zee Entertainment. Following the sale of around 11%, another 9% would likely to go to market soon." He also said that Comcast or other bidders will probably be at the table for the future stake sales. Many companies were in the race to grab stakes in Zee before the company opted to sell smaller stakes to US investment group Invesco's Oppenheimer Developing Markets Fund. Reacting to the death of Cafe Coffee Day founder V.G. Siddharth, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman on Thursday said business failures in the country should not be tabooed or looked down upon. Responding to the debate on the IBC in Lok Sabha, Sitharaman said that businessmen should get honourable exit or resolution to the problem in letter and spirit of the IBC. She said, and I quote, "Business failures in this country should not be tabooed or looked down. On the contrary, we should give an honourable exit," unquote. Siddharth's body was found on the banks of the Netravati River in Karnataka on Wednesday. And our Digging Deeper podcast is going to be a look at the life and times of V.G. Siddharth and how the brew turned bitter for Cafe Coffee Day. So do be sure to listen to that as well. Some earnings news now. Telecom operator Bharti Airtel today posted a staggering 2,866 crore rupee loss for the first quarter of FY20 amid a fierce competition unleashed in the Indian telecom market by, of course, Reliance Jio. Airtel had logged a net profit of 97 crore rupees in the same period of the previous year, Bharti Airtel said in a statement. The revenue of the Sunil Mittal-led company rose by 4.7% to 20,738 crore rupees. For the June quarter, Airtel's India average revenue per user, that is ARPU, which is a key performance metric of mobile phone operators, stood at 129 against 123 in the March quarter. Overall, though, bad day as far as earnings for Airtel are concerned. The tough days for the auto industry are here. It seems the country's largest car maker, Maruti Suzuki, on Thursday reported an almost 33.5% decline in total sales. The company had sold 1,64,369 units in July last year. This time, it's 1,09,264. Domestic sales declined by 36.3%. Sales of mini cars, comprising Alto and Wagoner, were at 11,577 units compared to 37,710 units, almost down 70% from last year. Mid-sized sedans also sold in fewer numbers. Utility vehicles like Vitara Brezza, S-Cross, Ertiga were also down 38.1%. Exports also down by 9.4% from July last year. The Enforcement Directorate today raided multiple premises linked to erstwhile Religare promoters, that is brothers Malvinder and Shivinder Mohan Singh and others, in connection with a money laundering case, according to the agency officials. They said the raids were conducted at 7 locations in Delhi, including those connected to the Singh brothers, the ex-CMD of Religare Enterprises, Sunil Godhvani, REL executives N.K. Ghoshal, Hemant Thingra, after an Enforcement Case Information Case, that is ECIR, which is the police equivalent of an FIR, was filed by the agency. The ECIR has been filed under criminal sections of the PMLA, that is the Prevention of Money Laundering Act, after taking cognizance of a Delhi Police Economic Offences Wing complaint filed in December last year. The Reserve Bank of India has allowed Bank of China to offer regular banking services in India. In another notification, the RBI said Jan Small Finance Bank Limited 2 has been included in the second schedule. All commercial banks like SBI, HDFC Bank, Punjab National Bank and ICICI Bank are in the second schedule. We advise that the Bank of China Limited has been included in the second schedule to the RBI, the central bank said in that notification. Furthermore, the name of the Royal Bank of Scotland has been changed to NatWest Markets in the second schedule. IBM has fired as many as 100,000 employees in the last few years in an effort to boost its appeal to millennials and make it appear to be cool and trendy like Amazon and Google. This, according to a deposition from a former vice president in an ongoing age discrimination lawsuit. The technology company is facing several lawsuits accusing it of firing older workers, including a class action case in Manhattan and individual civil suits filed in California, Pennsylvania, and Texas last year. What else happened in the country in the world of business? India has granted infrastructure project status to the $10 billion Hyperloop plan. Nirmala Sitharaman is going to meet CEOs of PSU banks on Friday. SEBI to ask depositories to act against entities failing to update share databases. Coffee Day Enterprises' current liabilities stand at around 5,200 crore rupees. Marico quarter one net up 17%. GCPL quarter one net up 9%. Ram Raghavan takes over as the new MD of Colgate Palmolive. Vatika Group sells food startup Biz to focus on realty and hotel businesses going forward. CRISIL has lowered FY20 GDP growth estimate by 20 basis points to 6.9%. All right, for news from elsewhere in the country, the Unnao rape survivor must be given central protection and 25 lakh rupee compensation by tomorrow, the Supreme Court has said today in a series of decisions that included the transfer of all five cases linked to this teen's rape, allegedly by powerful lawmaker Kuldeep Sengar, out of Uttar Pradesh to Delhi. A bench headed by Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi also ordered the CBI to complete within 7 days its investigation into the car crash on Sunday, which left the girl critically wounded and killed two of her relatives, one of whom was a witness to this alleged rape. The teenager is as of now on the ventilator after the car crash on Sunday when the Swift Desire she was traveling in was hit by a truck which had its number plate painted black. A first information report, that is an FIR, lodged a day after the crash named Kuldeep Sengar, his brother Manoj Singh Sengar and 8 others. The case was subsequently transferred to the CBI. As we've reported earlier, Kuldeep Sengar is a prominent politician who has ties to the central leadership of the BJP. He was even seen photographed with Amit Shah, and the girl had said that she was sexually assaulted by the politician when she went to his home for a job in 2017. She went public days after her father was thrashed by Sengar's brother. In a protest outside CM Yogi Adityanath's home, the girl threatened to set herself on fire if the police didn't act on her complaint. A day later, her father, who was arrested in a severely wounded state on charges of carrying weapons, died in custody. Meanwhile, there was confusion in the ruling BJP on Thursday over Kuldeep Sengar's status hours after news emerged that the jailed four-time lawmaker accused of raping the Unnao teen survivor, threatening her family in attempt to murder, had been expelled by the BJP amid waves of public outrage. This according to a report by NDTV. Sources say the ruling party finally cut its losses, feeling that the incident was bringing a bad name to the party and damaging its reputation. So according to the BJP's UP chief, Swatantra Dev Singh, Kuldeep Sengar remains suspended. Meanwhile, the Rajya Sabha on Thursday passed the National Medical Commission Bill for replacing the corruption-plagued MCI with a new body in what was described by the government as one of the biggest reforms for medical education in the country. The bill that seeks to repeal the Indian Medical Council Act 1956 was passed by a voice vote amid a walkout by AIA-DMK. The Lok Sabha on the 29th of July had passed the National Medical Commission Bill 2019. Health Minister Harshvardhan, in his reply on the debate on the bill, said NEET is already an institutionalized body which is conducting examinations in 13 languages. But there are, of course, more complicated matters when it comes to the National Medical Commission Bill. And about this, we'll be doing a deep dive soon, because a lot of the medical community is completely opposed to the NMC bill. They feel the elevation of practitioners of Ayurveda, Unani, homeopathy into practicing allopathic doctors is a disservice. But we'll find out more about that on that Digging Deeper. But as of now, the Rajya Sabha has passed the NMC bill. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court-appointed Ayodhya Mediation Panel has submitted its progress report in a sealed cover today. A constitutional bench headed by Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi will hear the matter on Friday tomorrow, even though it is not clear whether it will be taking up appeals against the September 30th, 2010 verdict of Allahabad High Court for day-to-day hearing. On July 18th, this according to a report by the Indian Express, comprising Justices S.A. Bobde, D.Y. Chandrachud, Ashok Bhushan and Abdul Nazir, the bench refused to call off the mediation it ordered on the 8th of March to find an amicable solution to the Ram Janmabhoomi Babri Masjid dispute. On the 11th of July, the Supreme Court had asked the mediation panel, headed by its former judge, Justice F.M. Ibrahim Khalifullah, to apprise it about the progress. And now this report has been submitted, and tomorrow we'll find out what it has to say. All right, India news done. Let's go straight across to financial markets elsewhere. As usual, we start with the United States. U.S. stock futures are higher after a Fed-inspired sell-off that saw the Dow and the S&P 500 post their biggest one-day losses in 2 months. Investors were disappointed after Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said Wednesday's 0.25% interest rate cut should not necessarily be taken as the first in a series. Trump has said, meanwhile, that Powell let us down by not clearly signaling more cuts. Trump clearly wants more. Lower rates already came to housing, and they're not helping much, by the way. This, according to a report pointed out by the New York Times. Despite Wednesday's sharp declines, the Dow and the S&P logged a positive July. Turning the calendar page, stocks have gained ground in August the past 2 years, but they've also seen some steep August losses this decade, most notably in the years of 2011 and 2015. So how this August will fare for the Dow and indeed Wall Street, we will know at the end of August. It's a busy day as far as the earnings are concerned. Dow component Verizon, General Motors, Dunkin' Brands, Dunkin' Donuts, Wayfair and Yum Brands will be coming out with their earnings today. After the bell reports today come from GoPro, Pinterest and Square. Shares of Qualcomm, meanwhile, were falling about 7% in pre-market after the chipmaker reported mixed fiscal third quarter results, beating on earnings but missing on revenue. Qualcomm also gave a current quarter earnings forecast, which falls largely below estimates as it strips out business from China's Huawei. Shares of Fitbit, you know, that thing that your dad wears on his wrist but barely ever moves, the shares of Fitbit are tanking about 18% in pre-market trading after the fitness device maker fell short of estimates on quarterly earnings. Fitbit revenue beat estimates, but Fitbit cut its full-year sales forecast on disappointing sales of its new Versa Lite smartwatch. What's happening in the world of Trump? Trump has offered Russian President Vladimir Putin help in putting out vast wildfires raging in Siberia, a move that the Kremlin has taken as a sign that battered ties between the two countries can be restored. Russia has been keen to rebuild U.S.-Russia relations that soured after Moscow's 2016 election meddling. I mean, this was a man who had given California so much grief when wildfires were raging there, giving suggestions like clean the floor of the forest or to rake. Perhaps it is those suggestions that he's also given to his good friend, Vladimir Putin. The Trump administration has named William Perry Pendley as acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. Pendley has pressed to reduce the size of federal land to boost development, attempted to undermine protections of endangered species, and has sued the Interior Department on behalf of an oil and gas prospector. He seems like an overall champion. He wants more building to happen. He wants less land for forests. And he has also gone and sued one department to protect the interests of an oil and gas prospector. Seems like the exact kind of pick the Trump administration would make. All right, yesterday we saw the second night of the Democratic presidential debates. Frontrunner Joe Biden faced heavy scrutiny, but he wasn't the only one who came under fire yesterday. Senator Kamala Harris, who had shot up in the polls after the first debate, also faced some withering attacks, especially from Tulsi Gabbard, who questioned Kamala Harris's tenure as a prosecutor and said she had placed a lot of people, more than 1,500, in jails for something as small as marijuana possession. So Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who are clearly among the frontrunners in this Democratic presidential debate, received some hard jolts yesterday. The Senate, meanwhile, is expected to vote on a two-year budget and debt ceiling deal today, just a week after the House approved the deal. But there are doubts about whether Republicans can muster a majority to support the spending package. The U.S. has imposed sanctions on Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, targeting the country's top spokesman and potentially hurting chances of diplomatic talks amid rising tensions between the two countries. Zarif, a critical figure in the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, has dismissed this action. Meanwhile, the US has obtained intelligence that the son and potential successor of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, that is Hamza bin Laden, is dead, according to NBC News. The officials would not prove details of where or when Hamza died or if the US played a role in his death. The United Nations Security Council will meet behind closed doors at the request of France, Germany and the UK to discuss how to restart conversations on denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. This, of course, comes after North Korean missile launches that I spoke about yesterday. It came after two ballistic missiles which North Korea launched, the second such launch within a week. We heard about the Fed cutting rates. Economists are expecting the Bank of England, that is the central bank in England, to hold rates at 0.75%, even as the threat of a no-deal Brexit looms on the horizon, causing sterling to plunge in recent days. The US Fed cut its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points yesterday, which is the first such since 2008. The European Central Bank is expected to follow suit with a rate cut next month. The president of Mozambique has signed a peace deal. The agreement between Filipe Nyusi and opposition Renamo party leader Osufo Momade will bring an end to armed hostilities with the former rebel movement in Mozambique. The deal follows an amnesty law which would grant clemency to conflict-related crimes committed since 2014 and a disarmament process that began Tuesday. The London Stock Exchange agreed to buy Refinitiv at a price roughly double what a Blackstone-led consortium paid for the Thomson Reuters-owned data business in a buyout less than a year ago. It is a $27 billion deal to build a financial data giant. But can this out Bloomberg? The Bloomberg is the question. Auto sector across the world is suffering and BMW has done the same by posting disappointing results. The rising cost of making electric cars weighed on the German automaker's earnings in the second quarter. BMW expects lower profits for the rest of the year, even as it sells more cars than the previous year. It's just that it takes that much more money to make the cars. Shell, meanwhile, has reported a lower-than-expected profit in the second quarter, mirroring the results of European peers like Eni, Total and Equinor. Lower energy prices, especially for natural gas, in the case of Shell, has hurt the companies. More North Korea news. An unidentified active duty soldier crossed the DMZ, that is the demilitarized zone, which divides the two Koreas, in a rare and rather highly dangerous escape. The soldier is now in South Korean military custody. There was a documentary which essentially spoke about cosmetics, but also tied to how there is a tortuous route that people who want to defect from North Korea take. They go all the way from China on that side, come all the way down to Myanmar or Thailand, and then are met by people who are this rescue group who will relocate them to South Korea, because South Korea has this policy of open doors for anybody who is defecting from North Korea. So it is a rather difficult and extraordinarily dangerous journey, and this has been done by an active duty soldier, according to this news report. As usual now, a quick roundup of what is happening in the world of tech. Facebook is reportedly working on a new TV streaming device and is trying to get companies like Netflix and Disney on board. A report from The Information's Alex Heath describes how Facebook is building a new AI-powered device which would connect to televisions to allow users to video call and potentially stream content like Netflix, Disney or Hulu shows. The company is nicknaming the project Catalina and it plans to sell it as soon as October, according to this piece on The Information. It would use technology similar to Facebook's existing camera-equipped smart speaker, Portal. As the US-China trade war intensifies, more tech manufacturers are moving production from China to Vietnam to avoid paying newly imposed tariffs. So who is winning the Trump trade war? It's not China, it's not the US, it is Vietnam. As the New York Times pointed out, these companies are lifting the ambitions of Vietnam, a nation already well on its way to becoming a powerhouse maker of smartphones and other high-end gadgets. Apple and Nintendo are two examples of companies that have begun moving their supply chain to the country, even though many experts say Vietnam has a long way to go before its labor market can meet the scale and expertise of the Chinese tech manufacturing. Speaking of Apple, Apple has joined a group effort by tech companies that should make it easier for you to move your data in your iCloud. The iPhone manufacturer announced it is becoming part of the data transfer project, which started a year ago to make data more interoperable, meaning more easily movable between systems. Google, Microsoft, and Twitter all joined the open source project last summer. In some other pieces of news that caught my attention, well, if you thought binge drinking was typical of college students, well, think again. Binge drinking is on the rise among seniors, according to one study published in the Journal of the American Geriatrics Society. It's obviously not an Indian thing, but researchers from New York City has found that between 2015 and 2017, more than 10% of senior respondents reported binge drinking in the last month, the highest it has been in the past decade. If that is about senior citizens, let's find out another piece of news that I found rather interesting as far as kids are concerned. Kids see bearded men as strong but unattractive. This, according to another study, science has some bad news for the bearded. Of course, these days, everybody has a beard. I can barely recognize one guy from another. It's all some kind of South Indian film star kind of style where everybody has a beard. A new study, though, suggests that until they reach puberty, kids are strongly anti-beard. Although children with bearded fathers did feel more warmly toward facial hair. Scientists going all the way back to Charles Darwin have pondered the purpose of beards. Darwin, who spent his later years sporting a rather large, bushy beard, thought beards had somehow helped men charm the opposite sex. Now, Nicole Nelson, who is a researcher from Australia who studied face perception, said, and I quote, "Until very recent history, beards were a very prominent element of men's faces, and so we must have explanations related to those, and it turns out that adults do." Actual scientific research on beards is rather scant. We don't have much research on beards, but Nelson says that over the last decade or so, some pioneering work has shown that beards make men look older, stronger, and more masculine, at least to adults. But as far as kids is concerned, strong, yes. Attractive, nope. Here's some relief to the women of Malaysia because a Malaysian senator on Thursday apologized after proposing a sexual harassment law to protect men from being seduced by women into committing sexual crimes. So this seduction bill has been withdrawn by this Malaysian senator. What a relief. Right, before I let you go, what happened on Dalal Street? It was a day of losses yet again. The BSE Sensex dropped 462 points and the Nifty 50 closed 138 points lower at 10,980. Top Nifty gainers today were Maruti Suzuki, Wipro and Bharti Infratel, which were up 1-2%. Top losers, JSW Steel and Vedanta, which lost over 5% each. Well, that's it from me. Those are all the big stories you absolutely had to know. MCPodcast@NW18.com is where you need to reach out to us. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.